My name is Sean Smuckler. I'm working at the Tropical Ag and Rural Environment Program at the Earth Institute of Columbia University. I've been working with the Millennium Village Project for the last couple of years, and I'm going to share with you some of our research. For the next 12 minutes, I'm going to introduce the idea of ecosystem services and how they're related to the Millennium Development Goals. I'm going to talk about some of our research objectives the environment team that I'm working on have put together, and then share with you some specific questions that we have as an example at one of our sites, one of our many sites that we're working with in Mbola, Tanzania, and talk about the approach we're using to answer these questions in Mbola, some of the results, and then conclusions from Mbola. So the Millennium Village Project is a multi-sectoral integrated development project. We're working in 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa. We have 14 village sites. These villages are located in a diversity of agro-ecosystems, varying in rainfall and cropping type. You can see the population densities of the villages vary dramatically from anywhere from 40 persons per kilometer squared to 400 people per kilometer squared. The environment team that I'm working with is working from the framework postulated by the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment. We're really focused on looking at the environment in terms of constituents for human well-being. So human well-being being security, basic materials for good life, health, good social relations, and freedom of choice and action. And the MA connects these constituents of well-being directly to ecosystem services. And the way we're looking at this, so the ecosystem services, supporting services such as nutrient cycling or provisioning services, food and fuel wood production or regulating services, climate regulation or cultural services, are all connected in some way to the Millennium Development Goals. And so what we're investigating is these connections, looking at the 8 Millennium Development Goals as indicators towards better human well-being. So our team is looking at trying to assess the environmental impacts of this integrated multi-sectoral intervention at all of these sites. What we'd like to be able to do is better understand the relationship between ecosystem services and other aspects of development, and then to develop tools that will help for management of ecosystem services on the ground, not just for current needs, but also for future needs. And that's what I'm going to focus on right now. So let's go to Mbola, Tanzania, located sort of in the middle of the country. It's a village cluster right on the deforestation frontier. Basically, people have recently moved into this area. The forests are coming down for food production. A major driver of deforestation in this area is tobacco curing, tobacco production. Here you can see the tobacco field bleeding into the forest canopy. Tobacco production is causing a significant amount of deforestation annually. The Miombo woodlands that are coming down for curing this tobacco provide a number of ecosystem services utilized by the people in that region, including food, fuel, medicine from the various trees, carbon storage, and pollination. There's a very explicit trade-off going on in this village area between those farmers that are producing tobacco and those farmers that are producing honey, high quality honey that's known throughout the region that relies on the pollination services from the forest. So for this site, our specific questions are, can agroforestry meet some of the food and fuel wood demands in Mbola? Can agroforestry actually stem this deforestation and preserve some of the ecosystem services from the Miombo woodlands? And then how could we incentivize adoption of agroforestry practices? Could payments for ecosystem services provide the funding to actually incentivize this labor-intensive practices? So the Millennium Village cluster is surrounding, there's one research village, the MV1 shown in red there, that our research is focused on. The yellow box is the study area. It's a 10 by 10 kilometer square area. We have satellite imagery, high resolution quick bird imagery from that region. Within that 10 by 10 kilometer square area, we did a baseline for vegetation and soil using the land degradation surveillance framework, the same methodology currently being used by the African Soil Information Service to digitally map the soils of all of sub-Saharan Africa. We basically randomly stratified 160.1 hectare plots, looked at vegetation, took soil samples, and looked at biodiversity in a subset of those plots. Additional data that went into this analysis that I'm sharing with you, the MVP does a household survey in year one and year three. This is a 300 household questionnaire. We have field trials, 30 paired trials, the intervention fields and non-intervention fields to look at farm yields. And then a number of our collaborators have published studies on tobacco production and tree growth that we're using for this. So one of the main objectives of our work here is to develop a methodology to analyze this high resolution imagery in a way that can give us a better sense of the land use and land cover throughout that 10 by 10 kilometer square area. We're currently using a spectral mixing analysis developed by Small and Liu, using a subset of our sampling plots on the ground to then train this image analysis using recursive partitioning and regression trees. The result of that analysis has given us a high resolution land use land cover map, indicating that forest is currently 50% of the landscape, cropland and pasture 40%, and we've identified areas that are natural. They've been deforested and they're currently fallows. They're natural fallows that are regrowing. So to estimate the potential for agroforestry to meet the food security demands of this area, we looked at making a number of assumptions. We did an analysis of a number of different scenarios, sort of the extensification scenarios as business as usual. No added fertilizer, no added nitrogen, no added organic matter. The fertilizer scenario is an 80 kilogram per hectare scenario using data currently collected in the Millennium Villages. Green manure and improved fallows would be the agroforestry interventions that we'd be introducing. Green manure being something like Mucuna purens or improved fallows, some nitrogen fixing acacia species fast growing. So in one of our sites in Sowry, Kenya, the population density is very high, 400 persons per kilometer squared, compared to Mbola, which is only 40 persons per kilometer squared. So this analysis showed that in a very dense population setting, the current yields cannot meet the food security demands of the population. And you can see on the far left, for extensification, Sowry would require an 80% increase in land area in maize production to meet just those basic caloric needs. In contrary, Mbola, which has a very low population density for all of the scenarios that we looked at, doesn't need as much cropland that's currently in production. So our conclusions are that green manure and agroforestry are a viable option in this area just to meet food security, the basic demands for food security. Part of the baseline that we looked at is trying to estimate the total biomass across that landscape. So for each of the land use land cover types, we developed a biomass, an average biomass per hectare value. You can see that the fallow is, we don't have a good estimate for the age of these fallows, but they're significantly less biomass than the forest. And the cropland and pasture, they, although fairly treeless, have a fair amount of agroforestry already implemented. So a couple years ago, one of our graduate students did a survey in Mbola. She looked at the fuel demands in the area. She estimated that each person requires 775 kilograms, almost a ton of fuel wood, each year just for cooking and for some income generation. She estimated that about 18% of that was for income generation practices like selling charcoal to the local urban area. Another important part of this analysis is trying to look at population growth. We don't have a very good idea on how fast the population is growing. Our year five surveys will probably give us a better indication. So tobacco curing, it's about 11%. From our surveys, we showed that it's about 11% of tobacco production is about 11% of the total cropland. And other studies have showed that it takes about 61 kilograms of wood per kilogram of tobacco to cure. So based on that, we projected what the forest resources would look like over the next 20 or so years. And at the rate of deforestation to meet the demands for both tobacco and household cooking, we're looking at a deforestation rate that's a little scary. The forest would be completely gone by 2022. So to look at possible alternatives, we identified land area that could be implemented, agroforestry could be implemented throughout the area. One possible intervention would be integrated soil fertility management, such as the Macuna species we talked about before. The introduction of woodlots on 20% of the cropland area, planting all of the farm edges or planting farm edges on 10% of the cropland area, and reforesting areas that are currently denuded. So given those management alternatives, we are able to extend the life of the forest for only another 10 years. And so this really indicates that despite reforestation, agroforestry efforts, the consumption demands for tobacco is incredibly high. To look at the potential for implementing payments for ecosystem services, we've begun modeling CO2 potential offsets, looking at these four different management practices and their soil carbon and biomass potential. The value of that cumulative removal is about almost 400,000 tons of CO2, which would be worth about $1.5 million and represents about 84,000 U.S. vehicles per year. And per hectare, that's about a $22 value for the project. So to conclude, we can definitely meet the basic food security demands of the region. agroforestry, given the analysis that we just did, could extend the life and the ecosystem services provided by that forest for another 10 years. And it's really not clear whether a $22 a ton or a $22 a hectare per year payment would actually incentivize these labor-intensive practices. Thanks.
Questions to Sean? Yes.
So as you develop this information, how do you then use it to go back and
support these folks? So what we're working on right now is to try to develop a carbon contract for this Mbola region. A carbon contract. So the first step is to be able to prove to investors that there's carbon potential there. The next step is to begin working with the community to devise how that payment scheme would actually work, and to get a better sense of how participation in this type of program would actually function.
Are the social structures there amenable to working with new programs like?
Well, the Mbola project has been working there since 2006, and so there's a staff, a team, a Tanzanian team in place, currently working in an extension-like manner.
Okay.